It does. I can't like to put my be into the so that we can watch some shows. I pretty much a thousand things. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I am Jamie Johnston, and I'm joined by...
I'm your host, Jeff Keeley, and I'm coming to you not from Las Vegas. I'm Mike Dodd. I'm about three Jeff Keeleys, all things considered.
Oh, boy. I was not expecting that. Anyway,
this show... Well, I am not brought to you by Mountain Dew and Doritos, though some might argue that fact.
I would say that I might be brought to you by Doritos, because they gave us an Xbox, so... But... Other than that, they don't really sponsor me in any way, shape, or form. Brought to you by Square Enix. Yeah, totally. No, they don't. They don't sponsor us.
Oh,
either.
We'll get to them. Don't you worry. We'll get to them. So you asking, what have I been doing? You know, this is gonna feel so. The words feel very strange coming out of my mouth. So allow me to articulate it. All I've been playing is
sucking a lot of dick.
Tons of it. Metric bags of dick. Playing Call of Duty multiplayer.
And that's the end of the show. We are now out. Jamie's leaving.
I think I'm a dude, bro.
You have problems.
Oh my god, I'm having so much fun. Dude, I've prestiged. I'm on my way to my second one right now.
What, did Titanfall like break you into like having the idea that you can be okay with a Call of Duty style game? Like,
yeah, actually.
Because they've made it very similar to Titanfall?
Yeah, actually. Like I'm legit. I'm not going to say I'm good. I'm going to say I'm competent. The best I've ever had is I went 23-6 in a game. Typically, I either break even or it's like 11-7. Typically, my score is almost always over 1,000. And I almost always finish positive. It's not super high positive, with the exception of a few really good games. But, man, I never thought in a million years I would like Call of Duty like I've been liking Advanced Warfare. Like, holy shit. Like, this is as much fun as Titanfall to me. Now, I wish I had mechs, but technically this one actually has mechs too. It's the S1 Goliath suit. Not as cool as an Atlas, per se, but still, it's a lot of fun. In fact, I don't even know what the multiplayer community is like right now for Titanfall, since all the big updates. I haven't played Titanfall since the stream at the end of October.
Blasphemy.
I know, right? Jesus.
This is just utter blasphemy. What have I been playing? I've been playing Titanfall on PC.
Oh, aren't you fit? Well, it was $5 on Origin, so I don't
it
see why.
It was $5 on Origin, and then it was $20 with all of the expansions, and a couple of buddies of mine, and they're just like, we're PC gamers, and we wanted to try this. Is it any good? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's a really good game, especially for $5. So they downloaded it, and they're like, you should play it with us. I'm like, I don't want to own it for two consoles. But then I realized how much fun I had had with Titanfall, and that it'd be $5 or 20. So I splurged, gave another $20 towards the Titanfall developers, because you know what? They deserve it. And we've been having fun ever since.
Now, it's too bad it wasn't cross-platform play, which would be really sweet.
See, that would have been awesome, because I've actually been using just my Xbox One controller on my PC, so it really hasn't been any different for me. And so, like, it would have just saved me a bit of money, and I could have played on the Xbox and streamed it and everything, right? Well, I can stream it from my PC as well, but
now,
I don't know why I haven't.
Is there, like, a modding community for it, or can you mod it?
I'm not sure. I haven't really looked into that. I've just been playing it the straight way there. I've noticed they've added some new game types and stuff since I last played. There's this mode where the ground is just covered in electric smoke, so it's all wall running and rooftop fighting.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Especially, like, you call in your Titan and it's automatically into electric smoke, so it's taking damage, so it's, like, more dire of how to use the Titan. And it also has, like, a marked for death kind of part to it as well. So, like, the only way to get points is to kill a specific enemy on the team before they kill your guy on the team. And so it's, like, forces you to run around from rooftop to rooftop because you have to like take them out, right?
Yeah.
It was a really fun game mode. And I mean, I was told I was going to get destroyed on the PC community by using a controller. Not so much. Not so much. I'm still wrecking everyone's faces. I mean, not trying to brag, but shooters is my thing. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that, I've been playing, you know, the usual Final Fantasy 14. It's had a patch came out. And I've also been working on it's a Final Fantasy VI hack. So it's basically Final Fantasy VI's engine and most of the story mechanics, but with a different story and characters and everything put into it. There's apparently a group of guys have been working on that for like 4 years and they just like launched it. So I got it put onto a ROM and actually playing it on the Super Nintendo because I'm testing it for a buddy of mine that actually makes the ROMs and prints them as cartridges. So he wants to make sure that the ROM actually works all the way through. So, but it's like 4 to 5 times harder than Final Fantasy VI. So, like, brutal.
So that's a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. other than that, I'm trying to think of what else I've been playing. Played through Assassin's Creed Unity. You can check out my review of that here on the site or more directly at reviewaday.ca. I got one or two more rads in me for the year. I'm going to do Assassin's Creed Rogue. Actually, as of this episode recording, I started yesterday. So I'm hoping to be done by the end of the week. I hear it's a fairly short game anyway. So it should have.
I actually returned mine only because of the reviews that I've seen. It was basically like that it should have just been an expansion, like a very cheap expansion. So I returned it. I'm just going to pick it up later when I have time. And I put the money towards Kingdom Hearts 2.5 Remix because I haven't played any of the Kingdom Hearts. Yes, shoot me. I'm a Square Enix fan that hasn't played Kingdom Hearts but owns all of them. But I figured, okay, 2.5 Remix is coming out. I bought the 1.5 Remix and now I think is the time to play through all of it in HD.
When does 2.5 come out?
It came out last week, I think.
Oh, well, I guess I
picked it up when it came out there. I think it's only $49.99 or something, so it's not bad.
I'll have to give my my people a poke over at Square Enix and try and score me a copy of that.
Yeah, you and your people.
That's right. My peeps! Although I'm still trying to get a copy of Shadows of Mordor right now, because I hear that's pretty good, and I'd like to throw it in a holiday gift guide if I could, but we'll have to wait and see. So, anyway, this show, man, we've been dancing around this topic for a few minutes here. We're talking about hashtag the Game Awards. These happened in Las Vegas over the weekend. Basically, the newest iteration of what was originally known as the Spike TV Video Game Awards. Now,
it doesn't seem right to call it the Game Awards, Video Game Awards, the Game Awards. It's like, are we talking about board games? Are we talking like that's why we always put in video?
See, I don't know. I think it'd be really smart of them to actually branch out and include board games, role playing games. That might be actually a really cool idea. But I'm guessing the VGAs is like trademarked by Spike.
Probably.
So,
but last year they just completely dropped the ball, so that's why this one's here now by other people.
Yeah, this is by the fans, for the fans, or so they say. A little bit of history of this. The Game Awards have been around since I think 2005, or before that, I'm pretty sure. I went to the show personally back in 2009. I was there with Angry Joe and Handsome Tom there on the red carpet. I was actually in the first group when people came off stage, which was really awesome, and Joe was right by the door where people kind of passed by him. I'm sorry, that's a really cool bragging moment. hey, I got to hang out with Tony Hawk for a few minutes. I'm really happy about that. And I met the woman who played Lightning, and I didn't know she also played Liara. In retrospect, I really wish I'd had my copy of Mass Effect 1 and 2 on me.
Yep.
Kicking myself in the ass now.
Yep.
it's sort of like the typical award show that like it's not like the Oscars and it's not quite the MTV Movie Awards where it kind of tries to play up that it's young, it's hip, it's cool. Is that what you kids say? It's cool. And it kind of comes off as kind of okay. This year's Game Awards from Las Vegas was in some ways an improvement over last year. In some ways, a step backwards.
I would still say a major improvement over last year. The years prior to that, the VGAs were really good. Last year, they just completely bombed it.
Was that hosted by the guy from Community?
Pretty sure that was the last
Joel,
year.
Yeah, Joel McHale, and he was.
If it wasn't last year, it was the year before. And last year, I didn't even watch then. But I'm fairly sure it was last year when that happened.
Or was it the guy from Chuck? I'm trying to remember.
No, it was the guy from Community.
Yeah. The last year I remember clearly was when Chuck hosted it, and then last year's with Joel McHale, very self aware of this is fucking stupid. And you could tell he was making fun of the audience, which I thought was great. But this year's, from a technical standpoint, was utterly atrocious. I was actually talking about it on Twitter with a couple people from, CNN and a few other outlets. And I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure whoever's running the show is a first-year college community student. Because this is terrible. There was one point, I can't remember who was on the stage speaking at the time. I think it was Neil Druckmann, the guy behind The Last of Us and Naughty Dog, and they're giving the award to the people behind King's Quest. And you can hear the band warming up in the audio. It's starting to bleed through. Like, they didn't have those channels turned down all the way or muted. And just, it was all over the place. Or my favorite technical gaffe of the night is, hey, you know what would be awesome if that teleprompter worked? Like, would people actually see him? Like, oh my god! Like, if I was a technical director there, I would be melting down and in a corner hiding.
Well, who was it? The guy that comes at, the voice for Solid, like Snake now? He comes out.
Kiefer Sutherland, yeah.
He starts talking, and then he's like realizes that nobody can hear him, and the guy rushes out and hands him a microphone stand, and he's just like, "Well, oh, you're a little bit late on that."
And he's like, "I'm not going to pay attention to this teleprompter. I'm just going to talk." Like, there is a lot of awkward moments like that, and from a purely award show thing, like, I've helped put together award shows for Niagara College and Mohawk College, and it's not an easy job by any stretch of the imagination, because you have to juggle, like, a million different hands. But still, this should have been better, and with Jeff Keighley's experience in the industry, I expected a little bit better. But then again, they did pull it off. It's better than what I could have done. But that being said, it is what it is. So, that being said, let's look at some of the awards this year. And this will be kind of just giving our opinions of the year. I'm looking at a thing from lazygamer.net. So we'll leave the big one, which is Game of the Year, till the very end of the show, so we don't spoil it.
I'm looking at Kotaku's list, because I watched parts of the game show, but I don't remember all the winners, because I started not agreeing with a lot of the winners, so I stopped watching a lot of things and just watched the world premieres. I will be entirely honest on that. I only have so much time in a week right now, and I'm trying to prepare for a real big reveal here in the future and get all of my shit in order on my end. So, that being said, what do you want to start with?
Let's start with, I'm actually looking for the same thing you are, so if you want to post that in the chat, I'd be really thankful.
The fourth wall here, man. I know, telling people, right? That we're using Skype.
I know.
Where's the chat thing?
The thing that really surprised me is how they did mobile gaming this year, because they included, I think it was stuff from it was not just like Game Boy or not Game Boy. It wasn't just like 3DS and Vita titles. It was also including other things too, and the game that won mobile was Hearthstone. When the fuck is that game mobile? I'm looking at the other people that were nominated for that, and I'm just going to give you a kind of rundown here. It was Bravely Default, Monument Valley, Hearthstone, like I said, Super Smash Brothers for the 3DS, and Threes. I hear Bravely Default was quite good, but got repetitious right at the end.
Yeah. I did a review on that, and I gave it such good things because I had to put out the review. And literally after I put out the review by like an hour, because I was like, what, 40 hours into that game because I was doing everything. And then the game just got super fucking repetitive, and I felt so bad about that review that I like apologized and stuff, but nobody really cared because it was a really good game. Except for that one section of about 3 hours of just doing the exact same thing over and over and over and over.
Yeah, like, honestly...
And not, like, level grinding. Like, bad story.
I mean, honestly, my pick there would have been probably Smash Brothers. Because the fact that they got a fighting game to work that smoothly on a handheld now, I guess the reason I wouldn't win is how hard that game is on the hardware. With people basically ruining directional pads and whatnot, so... I can see that, and I know Hearthstone has a huge community behind it, but it's not my thing, I guess. I don't know. Maybe see, this is a...
The thing is, like, I knew about Hearthstone, but I didn't know that it had actually launched because nobody has been talking about it. So that's why I don't understand how it won Game of the Year. Everybody and their mother was talking about Bravely Default when it came out. Everybody was talking about Smash Bros. When it came out. Like, it probably made quite a few sales when it came to the, what is it? It's the 3DS. But the one that I don't understand why it wasn't on there was, what game was that? I can't remember the name of it. So it's now irrelevant. But either way, Smash Bros., like, just in the physical, like, speaking just with random people, everybody was talking about Smash Bros. When Bravely Default came out, everyone was talking about it. No, I have not heard anything about Hearthstone. I didn't even know it was out until I heard that it had won.
I knew that it was out. I knew it was a thing because Kotaku seems to post one or two articles on it, like, a day. It's kind of like how they ran nothing but Destiny coverage for like a month. But I don't know. I mean, as a mobile handheld, I completely disagree. In fact, Pokemon should have been on there.
Yeah. Fuck.
For mobile and handheld. So
was X and Y out this year? Was it technically last year?
It was technically last year, though. Okay. Omega Red, or though Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire had been out. And considering some of these Game of the Years had just come out within the last few weeks, some of them really surprised me, but I've been...
And that's what I don't like about... That's what I don't like about the Game Awards, is they come out... Like, the awards show is, like, just after or just before a bunch of games come out, and I find it taints the votes, because people always choose... They always seem to choose what's freshest, yes. They don't remember how much fun they actually had with those other games. Like... When it comes to, like, this year, Hearthstone, it might actually be that good of a game, and I'm just have fallen short on this, but when it comes to some of these other categories, I can't always agree with it, because I think it was either just they were paid off, or people just kind of forgot about the other games that could have, like, should have won.
I'd like to know who sat on that board of judges. I really would.
It's on the Game Awards' website there, Jury and Advisors. I can pull it up and tell you right now.
All right, we'll see how many of these people that I know.
Lou Keston, Associated Press of USA. Any idea?
Nope.
Tony Mott, Edge, UK.
Okay, that's a print publication.
Okay, Andy McNamara, Game Informer, USA. By the way, if I butcher any of these names, don't
McNamara,
hate me.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I don't know him, but I know of the name.
Yeah, Game Informer. So, Brandon Jones from Game Trailers. You got Tal Blevins from IGN. Jamin Warren from Killscreen. Nacho Ortiz from Maris Station, Spain. Chris Grant from Polygon. So, I mean, there's definitely some pretty good ones on here. Mike Schneider from US Today, Ben Silverman from Yahoo, Jeremy Parrish from US Gamer, Joachim Hesse from Spiele Tipps, Germany. Butchered all that, but
it just seems to me like some of these like are kind of weird. Now, just because we could go through that list all friggin' day, I'm looking at the Kotaku list you are, and this one I actually agree with. We're going to talk about Game of the Year last, but we'll go down the list as you see fit. And if I can pull up other people in that category, I'll definitely bring it up. Best performance of the year. I know in that category, they had the girl that played Clementine from The Walking Dead. They had Kevin Spacey.
I've got the Game Awards website with nominees as well as our Kotaku list here. So,
all right. So who was up for best performance?
Best performance, we had Adam Harrington as Bigby Wolf from The Wolf Among Us. Excuse me. Kevin Spacey as Jonathan Irons in Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. Melissa Hutchinson as Clementine, Walking Dead Season 2. Trey Parker as various voices in South Park, The Stick of Truth. And Troy Baker as Talion, Middle Earth, Shadow of Mordor.
There is no surprise in my mind that Trey Parker should have won this.
He did.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there is no reason why he shouldn't have won it.
This is one of the few ones that I actually agree with, because he did an amazing performance. He always does with South Park, and with that video game, he did, like, I don't know, somewhere around at least 30 to 50% of the voices, right? So.
Well, that, and I love his speech when he came out. He's like, only in the Video Game Awards can I beat Kevin Spacey in acting. Which I thought was amazing. And that game honestly should have been up for Game of the Year. I really thought so. I think
it was really good.
Like, Stick of Truth is one of the games that just blew me away this year in terms of its narrative. Yeah, it's dick and fart jokes, but it's South Park, and that's what makes it special. So I'm not surprised there. Moving on to Best Online Experience, who was nominated in that category?
Where is it here? Best Online Experience. We had Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Dark Souls 2, Destiny, Hearthstone, and Titanfall. So, I mean, you have said a lot of good things about Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, which I have still stayed away from it because I don't feel like giving the Call of Duty franchise my money anymore. Like, I've heard a lot of good things about it. They did change some stuff up, but they changed it to be very similar to Titanfall, which Titanfall are the guys that left Activision and said, hey, we want to do this because it's fresh. And then they start copying them. It's like, you know what? Screw you guys. That's just my opinion. Dark Souls 2, for the online experience, I didn't think that it was as impactful like as other games. Like, there should be some more games on this list. Like, because online experience can mean a lot of things, right? I mean,
yeah. See, the main reason I disagree with Destiny,
and it's which only, is who won,
which is only, it's only been recently patched in, is a good voice chat with people on your team. And online experience, no, that's bullshit. The fact that you have, like, there's matchmaking for strikes, but not for raids. So, if I want to do the Vault of Glass, I have to find 6 motherfuckers to join up with me to do the Vault of Glass. I don't mind doing random things with random people, like doing, like, the strikes on Mars or on Earth or whatever, even if they're really hard. But I don't like the fact that I'm being forced into being social. I'd rather just have the random people and just do it. Now, as of this recording, since I'm releasing this on Wednesday of this week, Wednesday or Thursday, whatever, The Dark Below just came out. So maybe they fix this in the midterm, but no, I completely disagree with this win. In terms of online experience,
I would have to say Titanfall, out of these choices here, Titanfall should have won, because one, Titanfall is only an online experience, and it was amazing. It didn't have a rocky launch like Destiny did. It didn't have a whole bunch of bugs and issues like Destiny did.
Titanfall needed more maps out of the hop, and the content patches need to be released a lot sooner. But I would agree with you. I mean, Call of Duty, I know all the maps inside and out now, but I play a shit ton, but there's a lot more game modes available for COD as opposed to, say, Titanfall. So that's one strength it's got working in its corner. Hearthstone, I can't speak to it, but I hear a lot of people play that online. It's retarded popular. Destiny should not have won this, though, in my opinion.
No, everything that you've heard about it being bad and stuff like that, like, there shouldn't be that kind of talk of all of the issues that it had for it to be able to win best online experience. I don't know. It feels like it was paid for in some way, shape, or form.
Now, moving on to the next category of best score, we had Alien Isolation, Child of Light, Destiny, Sunset Overdrive, and Transistor. I've played 3 out of these 5. Alien Isolation, if anything, for the attention to detail, but it says score and soundtrack. So I'm presuming that means music and not sound design.
Yeah, I believe that's just the soundtrack.
Because it came down to sound design, Alien wins hands down. Mm-hmm. But for soundtrack, see, I remember some music out of Destiny, but not a lot. And that's a Marty O'Donnell score. I should know more of Marty O'Donnell's music than what I heard. But then again, when I think about it, I always think of his Halo stuff being the most memorable, and maybe that's my bad when I kind of think about it. But Sunset Overdrive had a fun soundtrack, but not necessarily soundtrack of the year. Child of Light was pretty good, and Transistor I don't know anything about, so I can't speak to that. So I don't know, man. I guess Destiny, because Marty O'Donnell and yay.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really attest to much because, like, I didn't play many of these. I played Sunset Overdrive and Destiny, played a little tiny bit of Isolation as a tech demo, but I don't know. I got to sit out on this one. I'm actually curious what Transistor is now, just because the character in this picture is holding a giant sword that looks like a computer chip, basically. So I'm interested. anyway,
moving on to trending gamers. So basically people that are on YouTube, and I totally thought this was just going to go to PewDiePie. Thank fucking God it didn't. It went to Total Biscuit, and I completely agree with this. The other people that were nominated were Evan Venos Fong, Jeff Gertzman, PewDiePie, and Stampy Longhead. I watch, and I know about 3 of these people. Like, I've seen some of their content and listened to it. Total Biscuit's the one that I like the most. And he's well-spoken, he's very articulate, and his arguments are very, 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 very good. He's even taken a stance on the whole Gamergate thing, which we're not going to get into. But he presented a different side of that argument. And depending on how you feel about it, he gave you an option on which side you want to fall on. It's not necessarily an us versus them. But you guys have seen my opinions on this on Facebook and Twitter. And that's the last I'm going to talk about it in 2014. Fuck you guys.
Well, we've already said we're not doing a show on it just because it's one of those things, no matter what we say,
someone's going to be pissy.
Yeah, people are going to be pissed off. So it's like, you know what? You have, like, everyone has looked into this stuff. Everyone has their own opinion of it. We'll leave it at that.
I think the only other, there are 2 people I would like to have seen nominated in this category. One of them because they are a friend. I think, honestly, Angry Joe. Because the amount of dedication that he puts into his show, and when he gets people talking, he generates a really good conversation. And the fact that some people maybe write him off as he's just an angry, pissed off gamer. Yeah, that's true, but that's his thing. And Joe, if anything, he's very passionate. And that's what I liked about him. The other people, I found this guy recently, and I think he speaks really well to esports, and he really makes the COD community seem a lot more welcoming than what it probably actually is. And his name is Driftor. And because of him, I understand how weapons work in COD. I know how movement works. And he never talks down to you. And that's what I really like about his thing. But that may be more personal preference as opposed to anything else. But we digress. So moving on to composition here. Just give me the games here.
Composition award?
Yes.
Does he even have that on this website here?
Well, the winner was Martin O'Donnell, so Marty, big surprise.
It doesn't actually show the nominees for that on the actual Game Awards website here, which, I mean, maybe it falls under the best soundtrack again.
That's total bullshit. That's gay. I don't mean that in a bad sense. You know what? Fuck you guys.
Oh, here it is. Okay. I think. Wait. No, I'm wrong.
Oh.
I found the trending gamer, though.
Okay. So, best fighting game, we had Killer Instinct Season 2, which this just came out in October, and we only have Maya and TJ Combo and the Mummy person so far. So, not enough for to judge it, I think. Persona 4 Arena Ultra Max. Really good game. Really, 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 really good game. The Smash Brothers for Wii and 3DS, and Ultimate Street Fighter 4, which came out in August, so that's fair. But to also be fair, that's an update. It's not an entirely new platform, which is what I would argue with Killer Instinct Season 2. It's balance changes to make the game better. It's basically the same engine.
But, I mean, if they took those two out, there really wouldn't be much of a running.
So. Yeah, like, and that's something that I put out on Twitter and Facebook. I'm like, what the hell came out this year for fighting games that I missed? Because this is a category I tend to pay attention to. Smash Brothers won, and very deservedly.
Oh, yeah.
It's a really good online. I've only had lag in a few matches. But other than that, it's solid across both consoles. So, I mean, ultimately, the best way to play this thing is local.
It made me buy a Wii U.
Oh, yeah.
So it wins. It wins entirely because I bought a Wii U for it. And I bought two of those amiibo things.
Who do you have?
I've got Fox and Kirby.
You know what? I wish I bought Marth when I saw him.
Me too.
Kicking myself in the ass because he's.
Well, actually, I saw him, but it was like a pre-ordered one that I couldn't get anyway. And then I saw a Wii Fit Trainer. I was like, nobody would ever buy that. And then I find out that those three are allegedly, as of this recording, there's two stories going on. One is that they've actually discontinued those three. And then there's another story that has an email from a Nintendo rep stating that that is not true. They're just trying to restock because those ones are just selling out faster.
Yeah, I hope to get Link. That's the one I really want. I want Marth because I want a really powerful sword character that I can train against.
See, if it is true that they're actually like discontinuing them as a marketing move, I wouldn't doubt that, because if they discontinue three and people are really trying to get them, as soon as the next pair come out, because like there's another three that are coming out soon, as soon as those come out, they're going to go, okay, well, these aren't like the main characters, so maybe they're cycling the three each time to make them really popular.
What I'm going to do is, since I have an account at Future Shop, I'm pre-ordering characters that I really want.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pre-order Pit. And maybe Little Mac. I haven't decided yet. I mean, I want him because I really like Little Mac, but at the same time, I don't know. But Pit,
I'd like to get a set of all of them, just because it's like the first time I've ever seen like Nintendo characters in a like toy form that look good in stores, and like that, not in a specialty store, but just in every store. So I want a set of them.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when Mega Man and Sonic come out, day one, bang, done.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, those are my, I don't care if I get anything else, but if anybody gets in my way between me and Mega Man, the amount of blood you will see.
I don't know if we'd see blood, you'd just destroy them so there's not even blood, dust.
Yep, just dead, fucking dead. moving on to the next category, once again, no surprise here, industry icon Roberta and Ken Williams, the people behind King's Quest. A lot of the modern RPG owes a lot to these people. King's Quest is one of the first ones, along with Ultima and Richard Garriott. Maybe he'll win if he hasn't won before. So no surprise here. I'm actually looking forward to the new King's Quest when it comes out on PS4 and Xbox One.
Yeah, that trailer looked pretty interesting.
Yeah,
you can see the trailer on YouTube or pretty much any gaming source right now. It looked fun.
Moving on to the next category, we have Developer of the Year, and this one should come as no surprise, but the nominees were Blizzard, Monolith, Nintendo, Telltale Games, and Ubisoft Montreal. Nintendo, hands down, this year, this has been Nintendo's year.
And we've already gone over this with the previous episode or two here, so
yeah, no reason to react.
We don't really need to, we don't really need to go into that, but yeah, Nintendo strong year, unexpected, came out like a ninja. So yeah, they definitely win.
next one is best esports. Don't care. Sorry, I just don't know enough about it.
What?
Which is funny because I used to be involved in esports. So figure that one out.
Oh, it's the esports team of the year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I thought you meant game for esports. I was like,
no. Yeah, as for best sports, this one is actually kind of fun and kind of surprising at the same time. We have FIFA 15, Forza Horizon 2, Mario Kart 8, NBA 2K15, and Trials Fusion. My picks are going to be here either Mario Kart or Forza, and Mario Kart 1. Which is surprising, because Forza Horizon 2 is a really fun game. FIFA sells ass tons. NBA 2K15, when the face technology works, it looks cool. When it doesn't, you end up with monstrosities born of nightmare. And Trials Fusion, guy on a bike. What can I say? It's a guy on a bike. No offense,
yeah,
Ubisoft,
I mean,
it's a guy on a
bike. When it came down to Mario Kart 8, that started to sell Wii U's, so...
Yeah, that probably...
We know that it was good, or at least worthwhile to buy a Wii U for, so once again, kind of like, you know, the Smash Bros. For Wii U really came out of the gate with Nintendo there, so...
Yeah. Moving on to Best Remaster, the nominees were...
I don't agree with this one.
Tomb Raider, The Definitive Edition, The Last of Us, Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire, Halo, The Master Chief Collection, and Grand Theft Auto 5. The winner being Grand Theft Auto 5.
Bullshit is bullshit. It's such bullshit. You can't just have a game come out 1 year later, call it a remaster, and put it into the remaster friggin' categories. It's the exact same game. Yeah, they might have tweaked it a bit to be better, but they already had the files ready for that because it was coming out 1 year later.
Yeah, like, there's no way they...
Bullshit.
Yeah, there's no way they weren't ready for this. So, and
the only two
games...
The only two games that I consider a true remaster here, and I mean, Last of Us is pretty close on there, but the only two that are truly remasters is Pokemon Omega Ruby and Sapphire.
And Halo.
And Halo.
Yeah.
Because they literally redid those old games. Old games. Not within the last 3 years, like all of the other three.
Yeah, I mean...
It's bullshit.
Halo, yeah, they did a lot. They did Halo 2 alone. Should have said something here. The Pokemon games, yeah. Now, Grand Theft Auto 5 winning, I can see why it won, because it's a really solid experience. I mean, it's a really good game. But it's the same game we played last year with, like I said, a few minor tweaks here and there. So,
like, I mean, under the actual remaster, not remake or anything like that, I would say Master Chief Collection should win because it remastered friggin' four games one CD.
But it also didn't work out of the box.
That is true. It did really screw up. So then I would still just give it to Omega Ruby and Sapphire, even though they're more like a remake. But yeah. Grand Theft Auto, it just annoys me because the game just came out, and so it's not a remaster. They still had the files. They didn't actually change anything. They had it planned to launch it for another console.
Now, this one... this category, I can see why it won. And this is best shooter. And it came down to Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, Destiny, Far Cry 4, Titanfall, and Wolfenstein. The winner was Far Cry 4. And considering the amount of crap you can do in that game, I'm not surprised. But I think other strong contenders for this, Wolfenstein had a really solid... single-player game. It was probably the best narrative-driven this year for a shooter. Titanfall, if Titanfall had a more substantial single-player, a true single-player, I think it might have won. Destiny...
Destiny even said it's not a shooter, so, like, they don't want to be a shooter, so it shouldn't be in here. But, I mean, yeah.
And COD... COD's really good this year. I mean, a lot of people are saying it sucks, but no, it's this is a fun year to play COD. I mean, it's
COD. Everybody, there's going to be a population of people that will say it sucks without even playing it. I didn't say that it sucks. I'm just saying that I don't want to give them money. But Far Cry 4, like, I can see it. But I mean, I still don't know if I really call Far Cry a shooter specifically.
It's
like it's more like an action. Yeah, like it's got a lot of open world stuff. So, I mean, like, I'm not sad that that one won. I think it's justified. I would definitely say Titanfall, Wolfenstein, or Call of Duty would they're all pretty close. If Destiny had a won that, I probably would have shot somebody.
Yeah. Games for Change, and I don't understand what this means, but the nominees were Mountain, Never Alone, The Last of Us, Left Behind, This War of Mine, and Valiant Hearts, The Great War.
Games for Change?
I don't know what that category means.
I think, well, it could be one of two things. Like, I think it's the changing kind of the way that you games play games and think of games. Yeah, so, like, it's more like an artistic kind of thing.
See, The Last of Us, I could put a really strong argument in this category, if that's the way it is. Because the fact that it introduced Ellie, I never knew the character was gay or at least bisexual. And I really like that part because it never took away from the storyline. I mean, basically, Riley and Ellie are at this part where they could die. They're right fucked. And Riley kisses Ellie, and it's a very tender moment knowing that, you know what, this could be it, man. And you know what happens after that, and you can see why Ellie's so fucked up. And I don't know, I thought it was a very cool moment for 2014 that we could have that and have nobody freak the fuck out over it.
I'm so glad that I have actually played that game and didn't just have that ruined.
You know what? You've had the rest of the year, folks. 8 months, don't give a shit.
This is very true. I am totally for that. But best narrative. I mean, Valiant Hearts having one that I have no idea what that game is, so
I have an idea on what it is, but I'm not sure, so I don't want to speak about it. Best narrative we have, and this is a really awesome category as well. South Park, The Stick of Truth, The Walking Dead Season 2, The Wolf Among Us, Valiant Hearts again, and Wolfenstein The New Order. South Park, in my opinion, should have won this from what I've played. South Park had a fun story. It took you all across the map from, you know, having this epic Lord of the Rings spoof, because the joke never ran out on itself.
No, it really didn't. Like, then, it was just always funny throughout that whole game.
And then you run into Nazis and Taco Bell, and it's fucked up. It's amazingly fucked up, and it was funny the entire time. I've played through that game 4 times, and I still laugh. That never happens in a comedy game, especially for a narrative game. In South Park, the narrative in those episodes are almost always really, really strong. So, though The Walking Dead, if there's a game that'll make you depressed about life, that's it. The Wolf Among Us, another really strong Telltale game. And Wolfenstein, if you see it on sale, grab it. It is legitimately really good. I got it for the PlayStation 4. And just trust me.
See, I'm probably going to have to try this Valiant Hearts game just because it won two categories here that are, like, categories that I like, so.
Moving on to Best Action Game. The nominees were, I just got to find it here, see if it's in my little list
here. I got it here. It's Action Adventure.
Yeah.
So I'll go through. We got Alien Isolation. We got Assassin's Creed Unity, Bayonetta 2, Shadow of Mordor, and Sunset Overdrive.
I've played all these, except for Mordor, but I know enough about it. I can see why Mordor won, but Unity I don't think should have been in there. Now, the gameplay experience for Unity, it's very bland. The action is fine in the game, but it's very bland. Who else was... Was nominated in there?
Alien Isolation, which doesn't...
Yeah.
Like, yeah?
Yeah, why the hell wasn't that nominated? Or, sorry, why the hell didn't that win? That's a game where you're literally playing as an evil computer. That alien doesn't give a fuck where you're hiding. It doesn't care. all in, the people at Kills get up and kill. No.
Well, I mean, it's got a lot of suspense, but it might not have been enough, like, action adventure. Because the category is action slash adventure, so
yeah.
Shadow of Mordor, from everything I've heard, would fit that pretty good. Sunset Overdrive is mostly action, less adventure.
It's fun though, but then again, I guess that's kind of the quantitative thing here. Like, how do you measure that? So yeah, all right, I'm willing to give it to Shadow. Best indie game. Let me see if I have this. Do I have?
I've got the list again.
All right, what do you got?
So we got Broken Age Act 1, Monument Valley, Shovel Knight, Transistor, and The Vanishing of Ethan Carter.
Shovel Knight, I knew this was going to win.
Yeah, people have not shut up about that game ever since it came out.
Put him in Smash!
That'd be kind of cool, actually.
Because he's like a Nintendo thing pretty much right now, so put him in Smash! Fuck Mewtwo! Shovel Knight! Just saying, folks. And then the big one in the room, the one we've been avoiding talking about for, well, just over 45 minutes.
I don't even agree with it.
The nominees for Game of the Year are Bayonetta 2, Dark Souls 2, Dragon Age Inquisition, Hearthstone, and Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor. Going from top to bottom, okay, okay.
yeah, you kind of have the same reaction as me, where it's like, I wish there was other games in here for Game of the Year, because, I mean...
South Park should be on here as opposed to fucking Dark Souls.
I don't know. Dark Souls 2, when it came out, a lot of people enjoyed it, but it's kind of got its own market.
Yeah, so. it's niche. South Park, I think, has a wider appeal, and it's... Well,
it fits into our appeal, so that might be why.
See, but then again, is it a better game? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, some of these nominees are kind of like, and they're a lot of these are from like end of the year, because Bayonetta 2 just came out. Dark Souls was, I think, what, during the summer, the spring?
Yeah, Dark Souls is the only like older one here. Like Shadow of Mordor was recent.
October. Hearthstone, I think, was middle of the year, if not very early on, at least in beta anyway.
I mean, like, I feel like you could put other games on here, like Smash Bros. Could have gone on there. Yeah. Could have had...
Walking Dead Season 2.
Yeah, like, a lot more games that were better could have won on here, but I mean, I don't know.
I'm honestly surprised Far Cry didn't make it on here, and yet Dragon Age could. So,
and see,
I don't know.
When it comes to Dragon Age, I've heard a lot of good things, but every time I watch my girlfriend playing it, I'm like, I don't see the appeal. And she has had nonstop issues with the game crashing, having glitches. Like, it has not been an experience that I would say is anywhere near Game of the Year worthy. But I don't know. The rest of the world apparently thinks otherwise or has been bribed. I don't know.
Yeah. So.
Like...
ultimately, where it's gonna happen, I don't know. That's your 2014 The Game Awards.
I'm excited for next year's Game Awards.
Now,
because there's a lot of games that I want to play coming out.
Now,
this year hasn't had a lot of games that I've just been like crazy wanting to play.
Now, next year, if this happens in Vegas again, Jamie, maybe you and I should go. Because I know you can do Vegas for a weekend for under $500. If you're smart with it. So, maybe we'll wait and see next year. Maybe we'll plan a little honeymoon. It'll be fun.
Oh, God.
Well, ultimately, if we... see, here's my plan. We leave Toronto at the hour of stupid o'clock.
Stupid o'clock.
We take a really, really early flight, get to Vegas in the middle of the day, hang out, do the strip, hang out, do the thing, go to the award show, leave Vegas at stupid o'clock, return to Toronto at less stupid o'clock, and go to sleep. We can do this in one day. We can. It will suck, but we can do it. Trust me. The casinos are not that far from the airport.
I need energy drinks for this. I need energy drinks now just to think about this. Holy crap. That's lots of stupid o'clock.
No, Blair, there will not be any titties on our trip to Vegas for stupid o'clock. You know what? If that's what our Patreon is for the show next year, the goal is if we can raise X amount of money per month, we'll save it to go to Vegas for this. I would love to talk to get all the developer interviews or to hang out with people like Boogie and stuff like that. That might be a lot of fun. So anyway, guys, so that's pretty much our show for this week. We've got a couple more in us before the end of the year. Next show, we're going to talk about our games of the year. We're actually going to take a look back at what came out that we actually gave a shit about and some stuff that we just didn't necessarily give a shit about.
Well, it's more like a look back at 2014. I don't know. I don't even know what game I would call my game of the year. I'm going to go with Tetris on my phone. I'm going to download it right now and it's going to become the game of the year.
My answer may surprise a lot of people, I think. So,
mystery!
I know, good times. So anyway, guys, for the prototype, I've been Jeff Keighley. You have been...
Bob Saget.
This has been The Prototype, powered by Mountain Dew, Doritos, and...
And burps.
And burps. That's right. And lightsaber dildos.
Oh, no.
Opening band. We are here to do 5 or 6 or 7 songs. Don't go too long and get the hell off the stage. We are the opening band. We're probably not the band you came to see tonight, but it's alright, cause soon we'll go away. And we're wondering just where the hell's the sound guy. He disappeared just after we got up here. Probably behind the building, rolling up a fatty, and he'll be gone until our last song. We got a VW van. I had to sell every Star Wars figure that I had and ask my dad to co-sign for the loan. We don't got a whole lot of fans. Nobody asked for our autograph, and sad to say, as of today, no panties have been thrown. And we're wondering if this was worth the drive here. We spent 6 hours in traffic on the highway for $50 and half price on the cheese fries and free Miller Lite on tap. Who can drink that crap? Cousin lives in town and will be crashing at his place unless his girlfriend's home from college and she's staying for the weekend. And if she is, then we will have to go and park the van behind the IHOP by the turnpike, and we'll sleep in the back seat. And we're wondering just where the headline act is. They're probably getting wasted in the green room, and they don't give a rat's ass who we are. So when they start to play up here, we're gonna drink all their beer. We are the opening band. We hope that all of you sign up on our mailing list and buy our disc and t-shirts in black and gray. We are the opening band, and we only got about 25 more minutes left. That's all we get to blow your ass away. We are the opening band. We are the opening band. Hello.